The Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involves varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation. Know the difference. Now, the Annex Wealth Management Show on 92.5 Fox News.
And officially welcome. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. We're glad you're here. It's a fast-paced half hour coming up. We're going to dig in deep on the markets, but we're going to also talk about a lot of planning stuff because that's what we do, estate planning especially, how to make it easier for your trustee to carry out your wishes. Ask Annex is coming up. Also, throughout the year, we help our clients perform hundreds of Roth conversions. Are they right for you? How do they work? What should you think about it when you're thinking about Roth conversions? That's all coming up. I'm Danny Clayton. Derek Felsky, Chief Investment Officer. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Danny.
And Dave Spano, our President and CEO. Welcome.
Thank you, Danny. There's certainly a whole lot to talk about, as you alluded to. But, you know, one thing I do want to talk about before we start is really what phenomenal growth we had in 2021. I went back and looked at some numbers, and from the third quarter of 2020 to the second quarter of 2021, GDP rose by 17%. I mean, that is just absolutely stunning. Now, we were down 9%, but growth has been pretty good. And what's happening now as we start 2022, there's all of these gray clouds that are forming, and that's really what's caused the volatility.
That's absolutely true, Dave. I mean, one of the things I always think about is the stock market sort of as a leading indicator. So last year, we were up almost 28% in the S&P 500. That anticipated a lot of the growth that we've seen, even the growth we're likely to see in the coming few months. So what we're trying to figure out as investors is what's going to happen with rates, what's going to happen with the shape of the yield curve, and how will the economy weather higher interest rates?
And so we talk about higher interest rates and inflation, and sure that some folks don't want to hear it anymore because we all know inflation is here. If you go to the grocery store, if you fill up your gas tank, heating or cooling your home, you know that it's more expensive. And so inflation is there. You know, one of the things that is befuddling to us is the fact that there has been so much fiscal and monetary stimulus that was put in, you know, $1.9 trillion of fiscal stimulus. We know that there was a bipartisan infrastructure bill that's passed, and that was $1.2 trillion. So that is coming, as well as the Fed continues to put money into the market before they end up their tapering.
Oh, yeah. One of the things I've been looking at, one of the key tells for me is how the yield curve trading and what's the high yield market doing, in other words, junk bonds, because typically if there was real fear of the economy rolling over, we'd see spreads start to widen. So they've stayed relatively well behaved. What we're really seeing is just a huge rotation out of those big tech names, the big top 10 names in the S&P 500 and Russell 1000 growth towards smaller companies like in the energy patch or community banks and things of that nature. And that doesn't help much in terms of market cap, but it certainly can lead to stock selection and stock picking that warrant a more tactical approach.
And so you talk about where you can go. I mean, it certainly feels to us that we are nearing an oversold or a washed out part of the market. And we're watching this closely. Obviously, we had a lot of red throughout the week. And you look at the 10-year Treasury, as you start, we're starting to talk about, Derek, and back down, which is interesting as Ukraine is fretting. Russia coming over the border, the 10-year Treasury went down, which is very interesting to us.
Right. I hear the talking heads on TV talk about higher interest rates, and I've watched interest rates move lower. So they're trying to justify market action by basically choosing whatever they choose to select. We're going to see how earnings are. And again, companies that make money, that trade at reasonable free cash flow yields, potentially pay dividends, those are the types of stocks that investors are starting to gravitate towards.
And you look at it and say, Derek, where can I go? The NASDAQ from peak to where it is now is down 14% peak to trough. So clearly in correction territory that most observers use is more than 10% is correction. More than 20% is a bear market. So it's right in between there trying to find a bottom. So we start looking at NASDAQ names, and those are some of the names that you're talking about, Derek.
One of the other things I look at is the fear index, the VIX. And basically that thing is up about 50% from its low 2 weeks ago. And that typically is a sign of an excessive sell-off. And it's aggravated by the fact that options expired on Friday, which aggravated the sell-off.
Yeah, that's right. And that's why we're going to watch earnings reports that are really going to come out next week. So if there's a favorite company, look for their earnings reports and find out if they had higher revenue growth, obviously sales, or higher net income, because the markets will reward those companies that have those characteristics.
And who raise guidance.
Market recap from Annex Wealth Management. It came in partway through that. That is going to be on the Annex Wealth Management YouTube channel sometime this weekend, so you can check that out. In the meantime, if we can help get you in shape for 2022 and beyond into the retirement you desire, know the difference. It's one team, one plan, one fee. Investment, retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning. We do it as a fee-only fiduciary. Head to annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, Sunday the 23rd. We're going to be right back on 92.5 Fox News.
It starts with a call. With one call, you can start seeing your future more clearly. If your financial picture is cloudy because you're getting conflicting tax, investment, and estate planning advice, help is a call or a click away. Annex Wealth Management's team works to get your investment plan in line with your tax plan and your estate plan. Build confidence with one team working to create one comprehensive plan as a fee-only fiduciary. Annex Wealth Management. One team, one plan, one fee. AnnexWealth.com.
We are back on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. Know the difference. It's one team, one plan, one fee. Investment, retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning. It all starts at AnnexWealth.com. Just click that Get Started button. Dave Spano is in the studio. So is Derek Felsky, our Chief Investment Officer. And anything we need to talk about that we didn't get to in the last segment?
Yeah, there's always a lot to talk about. But, you know, we get kind of geeky sometimes talking about the Fed all of the time, but it is so important, the connection between what the Fed is doing, the economy, and then your own portfolio, the value of your home, how much interest you pay on your mortgage, or the actual value of your 401k or other securities that you own. So that's a lot of reasons why we put a lot of attention to it. As we covered before, the Fed has two jobs, a dual mandate. One of them is employment, and the second is controlling inflation. Employment now at 3.9% nationally is a really good number, despite the fact that we had this great resignation, you know, where people quit their jobs because, A, they didn't want to do the commute, they didn't want to get dressed, they didn't want to stand by the water cooler with Bob from accounting, whatever the issue was. And then secondarily, maybe they couldn't go to school, maybe their kids couldn't go to school, so mom stayed home. All of that together means that there's still a lot of jobs that are unfilled. So the Fed can't turn their back on their first mandate, which is jobs, despite the fact that inflation is running away.
Well, and we've also talked about how the Biden administration really wanted the economy to run hot because they wanted to see wage growth, they wanted to see full employment and the like. So this week, you know, this coming week, we're going to hear from the FOMC. They're expected to continue the taper. There has been some scuttlebutt recently to try to explain market volatility, that perhaps they'll be aggressive and raise the Fed funds rate 50 basis points, which I actually think the market would like because it would get the process moving.
But it would be unexpected, and the Fed has been really good about being transparent. So I heard that scuttlebutt as well. That would be outside their norm.
Right. I mean, Powell's been a gradualist, and he often talks about following the data. Well, the data we saw this week, we saw jobless claims at a three-month high. Now, that could have been due to weather or some other issues, right? There was a lot of cold weather in the Northeast, the Midwest, and also the Omicron situation. So, again, these are data points that are fluid, and so will the Fed's policy be.
And that's the reason why. They just can't walk away from their employment mandate, especially with these 10 million jobs that we've talked about that go unfilled. And there's not a single business owner or employer who comes in here and says that they are having trouble finding qualified talent. So that is an issue that's going to continue to be with us. Go to the other side, inflation. Inflation, you know, we talked about, is it transitory? You know, obviously, we now know that the Fed has retired that term. Is it permanent or is it a spike? And we look at it, and there are parts of inflation that are going to stick with us, obviously rents and wages. And so how much of that is just goods pricing or services pricing?
Right. I noticed that lumber prices are back to the highs they established earlier last year. And, you know, the housing boom has basically been very strong. But, you know, when lumber prices are at these levels and the unavailability of labor, that's going to cause housing prices to continue to rise, which probably would push rents up as well. So there are all sorts of upsides to the services side of inflation, but it's the good side that you addressed that I think is really more significant, because that's where the spikes have come.
There's a thing that we watch, which is called housing supply. And at the top of the crisis in 2008, there happened to be about a year and a half worth of supply of homes. They were just a glut of them. And a lot of banks said, we will be back on our feet when the housing supply gets back to normal. Well, now we're down to 1.8 months, which is something that we haven't seen, I don't know, 40 years or so. So there is not a lot of supply of home at the moment.
And the other thing about the Fed, too, is a lot of the talk recently is essentially jawboning, because right now we're in the quiet period. They can't say anything until after the FOMC meeting. So basically, people are free to pontificate or consider what they believe to be the reality of the situation, and they don't really know for sure. So at times like this, you look at the volatility of stocks, you look at the relative attractiveness, you look at the fear and greed index and the rest, and you start to build a shopping list.
And that shopping list really has to be based on what works for your portfolio. If you want to swing for the fences, there's certainly companies that you could buy. We saw Netflix absolutely murdered this past week because their growth rate wasn't going to be there. But find companies, in our opinion, that continue to grow their revenues and then grow their bottom line, grow their profitability, because then you can value it. But almost by almost any measure, Derek, we're seeing the valuations measures that are stretched.
Right. Well, Netflix is a really interesting case because they've been raising prices. And because they've raised prices, their service isn't as competitive as some of these other services that are much cheaper. So if Netflix wants to fix the problem, all they have to do is set up another tier of service with advertising.
Well, you should work for Netflix. You just made yourself a billion-dollar idea.
Do you remember when it was video cassettes that they
exactly.
sent? I remember DVDs.
Yeah, right.
I remember
of course.
You'd get
VHS.
The DVDs. VHS, and that was a big deal. So, yeah, and they were kind of a utility in a way. If you had a streaming service, that's the one you kind of had. But now there are so many of them.
I read an article about Blockbuster, and if you remember, that was an issue too. So
there's a great Twitter account called The Last Blockbuster, because apparently there's one still open. Folks, if we can help, head to our website. It's annexwealth.com. We do investment retirement planning. We do tax planning and estate planning. We do it all together with our huge team under one roof as a fee-only fiduciary, and we can do it for you. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show. We're going to be right back. 92.5 Fox News.
Cut through the clutter with Axiom, the weekly newsletter from Annex Wealth Management. Subscribe today for 7 insights built and delivered to you every Sunday. It'll help you navigate the markets and the things that affect your money. The Axiom. Sign up at annexwealth.com.
We're back. It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News. Dave, this is show number 113 on 92.5 Fox News, but it's only our second in this time slot. We're glad to be here, but boy, a week ago, what a debut, huh?
Yeah, you know, first week on our Sunday spot, a tornado, as we all know, going through southwest Florida, and the winds were just whipping all the way through the next day. I had a chance to go up to Vanderbilt Beach and look at the water, and it was just pounding. It was really interesting. But, you know, was following that, I saw on Monday and Tuesday, which was kind of shocking, was all of the Amazon trucks were just driving around up and down 41 and up and down Immokalee. And so I don't know what people ordered days after the tornado, but there was a lot of stuff going through. I did look at the Amazon stock this past week, down 24% from its peak. So maybe the investors know something that we don't.
Well, if you just joined us, this show will be on our Spotify channel for Annex Wealth Management at 1 o'clock this afternoon. So far, Dave and Derek have kind of dug in on the X's and O's of the market. Also coming up, we have a two-part series from Brandon Lehman. It's called The Value of an Advisor. We really believe if you're going to pay money, you should get value. And I think everybody agrees with that, but it's a fantastic series coming up. But it's something we try to do for every single client.
You know, I was having a conversation with Brandon. Actually, we were over at Baleen having dinner, and I was talking to him about that. And this conversation came up, and I said, you know, there is going to be fee compression, and we see it already that, you know, clients are asking for lower fees, and we're not surprised by that. But they can ask for that when there is an absence of service, if there's an absence of value. And that's what's happening. A lot of folks who are investment only, don't provide financial planning, don't talk about estate planning, they're going to be under pressure.
Dave Spano, our president and CEO at Annex Wealth Management. There's more to come on the show, value of an advisor. We're going to do that next. We're also going to talk about estate planning, how to make it easier for your trustee to carry out your wishes. We'll talk about Roth conversions, and then that second part on value of an advisor. Put us to work, folks. We'd love to do it. Know the difference. It's one team, one plan, one fee for investment and retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning. We do it as a fee-only fiduciary, and we do it as a complete plan that is like no other. It is built for you and you alone. But again, the most important part, we're a fee-only fiduciary. AnnexWealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Back in a bit, Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
Dave Spano from Annex Wealth Management. After all we've been through, isn't it time to focus on what really matters, living your best life? There are a lot of moving pieces when it comes to investment and retirement planning. It's important to get it right, and we can help. AnnexWealth.com is the place to start. Click the Get Started button. Put a pro on your side with a local fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management, AnnexWealth.com.
Know the difference? It's team tech trusted Annex Wealth Management. You know, it's human nature to want the best deal on goods and services. We want to pay the least, but we want to get the most, and why not? It's our hard-earned money. You've also heard the old adage, get what you pay for. Brandon Lehman, wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. Can I get an amen to that?
I agree 100%.
Right? Welcome back. When it comes to your investment and retirement plan, the value of an advisor is an important discussion.
It is. You really need to know, one, who you're working with and what you're getting out of that relationship. There's more to it than just investments. And we want to take a deep dive into really everything that comes from that relationship of working with a valued partner on the financial advising side.
For sure. Russell Investments put out a really nice piece that caught your eye, and it's an excellent five-step process that breaks it down. And we're going to talk about that. They do A, B, C, P, and T. A is first up. That is annual rebalancing of investment portfolios. And we talk about this a lot.
Yeah, we do. And why this is so important to understand is because as the years move along, portfolios change. Every year you could have some things that do well, some things that don't. And if you're not paying attention, if you don't have somebody behind you guiding you, helping you, looking for those opportunities, you're going to miss out on the opportunities to basically sell high and buy low. A great stat is if you look back, and Russell Investments put this out in a study they did from January 1st, 2009, if you had a basic 60-40 portfolio and you didn't make any changes to that portfolio, 10 years later on December 31st, 2019, you would have 21% more equity exposure and 18% less bond exposure without doing any rebalancing.
It gets out of whack.
It does. It does. And what's that doing is it takes you from what you consider a moderate investor, and now you're actually a more moderately aggressive investor. You've actually moved up the risk scope through this process by not making any changes.
Now, they talk about annual rebalancing. We do it more often, and they probably do as well.
Correct. So we, you know, there's the annual rebalancing where if you look at it in your 401k, you can kind of set up that tool. But here at Annex, we do it a little bit more different. We're constantly looking for the opportunities to take advantage of it in the marketplace. And this isn't a, you know, buy today, sell tomorrow, buy today. You know, Dave and Derek and the investment team do a phenomenal job, but we're looking for opportunities inside the portfolio to add value for our clients. So it's a little bit more than the annual rebalancing, but overall, you want to stay focused on that. And we can help you, especially on the 401k side, to make sure you're doing that, because that's where you see this. People make the largest mistake in this area.
Gotcha. We're talking about the value of an advisor. B stands for behavioral mistakes individual investors typically make. And they do that, don't they?
They do. And I don't think there is any more time, more important time to talk about this than right now. When you think about what we all just went through, from March 23rd lows to where we are today, you know, there's a lot of panic out in the marketplace. But what you need to do is you need to stay focused on the long term. And I think you and I talked about this last week. It is very important to stay focused on the long term. And what Russell did is they look at it and they say, okay, if you're an average investor, and nobody necessarily wants to be average, but, you know, an average investor, what has happened from 1984 to 2019 is because they go in and out of the market. They basically do the exact opposite of what you should do, and they buy high and sell low. And that has actually can cost them upwards of 2%. By working with somebody who can help coach you through that, talk you through that, and keep you focused on the long-term plans, you can see a savings in the long run for you and your portfolio. couple quick points on behavior. You know, there's a few things that you commonly see with folks, and it's related to human biases. The first is obviously loss aversion. So they hold their winners too long. They're afraid to sell their losers. The second is overconfidence. They're just trading too much. Another thing is hurting. So, you know, what is my neighbor doing? I want to do that. I've gotten a lot of those calls. Familiarity. So we see a lot of home country bias. So where are most of your investments? They're right here in the U.S. Well, there is opportunity outside of the U.S. If you partner with somebody, you can definitely take advantage of that. And the last thing is just truly understanding diversification. And we call it, I guess you'd say, naive diversification, but being truly diversified and setting up a diversified portfolio. And when you partner with a firm like Annex, we can really direct you and help you figure out what makes the most sense.
Brandon Lehman is a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management, talking about the value of an advisor. We believe in it. C stands for cost of basic investment only management. Are we talking about robo-advisors?
We are, and it's very simple. You think of Betterment, you think of Schwab, Intelligent Portfolios. These are places where you can go and you can get one thing. You can get investment management. Basically, you could call it advice, but it isn't really. It's a portfolio that suits your needs based on you answering anywhere from 6 to maybe 10 questions. And that's it. There's no time for you to sit down with somebody, talk about your goals, talk about some upcoming events you might have. You know, here at Annex, one of the things I've noticed we do a lot of is we'll sit down with an individual and they say, well, this is my short-term goal. I have this. So we'll actually have a separate account with a separate risk tolerance put up just for that situation. And then we'll have a different account with a different type of investment schedule for different goals. When you work with a robo-advisor, you don't get any of that. You just have the pure cost. And the pure cost of that is surprisingly going up every year, from 5 years ago when you looked at about 0.25% for a robo-advisor to nowadays on a $400,000 account is about 0.29 in a recent study that Russell Investments did.
Oh, that's way higher than I guess I thought.
It's a lot higher than you would have expected.
Sure. This is part one of a conversation about the value of an advisor. We'll be back with Brandon Lehman in a bit. Stick around for that. If we can help, head to annexwealth.com and click that Get Started button.
Cut through the clutter with Axiom, the weekly newsletter from Annex Wealth Management. Subscribe today for 7 insights built and delivered to you every Sunday. It'll help you navigate the markets and the things that affect your money. The Axiom. Sign up at annexwealth.com.
Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management, joined by Jill Martin, estate planning attorney at Annex Wealth Management. Welcome back.
Thanks, Danny.
So this segment was inspired by a recent conversation you had with a client regarding trustees, and he was driven to a point of frustration and exclaimed something to you.
Yeah, he basically didn't want to leave his kids with the headache of being a trustee because he was going through it with his dad and just decided, I'm going to simplify everything and make everything payable on death to my kids.
This is your world. You see this all the time, but I see this with my friends and family where messes, poor kids have to just dig through messes, and then others, it just goes so clean.
It does, and that really goes to a certain point of how much did you do during your lifetime to properly plan your estate, get it in good order so that it's really easy for your kids after you're gone.
So here we are, and we're going to have a little chat about how to make things easier for your trustee, because bottom line, if the I's aren't dotted and the T's aren't crossed, those left behind trying to figure out aspects of an estate plan will be pulling their hair out. Let's start with a couple of definitions. First off, I hear executor, I hear trustee, I hear all sorts of things. Let's start with trustee.
Yeah, so a trustee is a person that you name that has the fiduciary duty and responsibility to kind of settle all of your final affairs after you've passed away. And that's done when you use a revocable trust as part of your main estate planning document.
Why do I think that sounds like an executor?
Because it does. So an executor has all of those same responsibilities, but an executor works operating under a last will and testament and has to be legally appointed by the court so that the probate court supervises what that executor does.
How often are trustees confused with executors?
All the time, right? Because they have the same function. So their job is to wrap up and settle someone's affairs after they passed away. It's just a matter of, is it under a last will and testament? or is it under a revocable trust agreement? So they have the same duties, but it actually gets to be kind of a fine point that we have to clarify.
So let's go back to the client's frustration with being a trustee when his dad died. What kinds of things was he experiencing?
Yeah, so the number one thing here was that his dad had not really organized his financial affairs. He had probably 10 or 15 different accounts in the name of his trust or payable to his trust. So the son, as the trustee, had to go contact all of these different financial organizations and institutions to start collecting assets and get information and say, hey, I'm the trustee now that my dad's died. So it was a lot of work just to gather information, much less figure out, now what do I do going forward?
You want to make things easier for your heirs. I mean, absolutely, positively, got to consolidate.
Yeah, and so that's the number one thing that I talk to people about a lot is we have a lot of clients who they like to diversify and have things with multiple advisors and multiple banks and financial institutions. And as we get older, you know, that gets harder for you to track, but it's almost nearly impossible for your family to figure out. So what we want to do is start kind of consolidating that stuff down. Use one primary banking institution, use one primary investment advisor or a brokerage firm. It just makes things so much easier for someone else to step into your shoes and manage your financial life.
Wouldn't it just stink if you had money that really should be going to your loved ones and it's just out on an island and you've forgotten about it?
And that happens. That happens more often than we think with random old life insurance policies that nobody knew about or an old brokerage account that has just lingered out there for so long you've forgotten it even exists.
Oh, yeah. Hey, what's it mean when you suggest that when using a trust, you need to fund it? Is that fund like money fund?
Fund it. So what we talk about with a revocable trust is you need to get assets titled into the name of the trust. So instead of Danny Clayton owning a brokerage account, right, the brokerage account is titled in the Danny Clayton Revocable Trust account, okay? And what that means is that brokerage account is owned by that trust, so it's already there. It's really easy for your trustee to take that over after you're gone.
Well, it sounds more big time for me, too. I got an irrevocable trust.
Well,
how
there
about
you go.
That? Yeah.
I just upgraded you.
Thank you. Housekeeping standpoint, who is it that does this?
A lot of times it's the work of the client.
It
so
is.
When you go and you put that estate plan together, most estate planning attorneys are going to give you a nice letter of instruction that says, here are the accounts that you need to title into the name of your trust. Here are what your beneficiary designations need to say so we get things into your trust. And then what happens is it's on the client to go ahead and kind of go through their financial statement and say, I did it for my IRA here, and I did it on my 401k, and I did this on my house, and I did this on my vacation property, right? It's on the client to do that, and a lot of clients don't. And that's where trustees run into a lot of frustration.
I frustrated my boys so much when they were 16, 17 years old. I think I can not do it when I'm no longer here. How about that?
That's a fair statement,
yeah,
but some people don't think about it. They think, hey, I did this great estate plan, and I'm done.
Yeah.
But there's follow-through and homework that needs to be done.
For investment, retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning, we do it as a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference? Website, annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Start the wealth metric process. Jill Martin, estate planning attorney at Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
You're welcome.
This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show for Sunday, January 23rd. We're at the halfway point of the show. Quick break. We're going to be back. 92.5 Fox News. You know, as much as we'd like to think a new year wipes the slate clean, we're realists at Annex Wealth Management. The same challenges remain: market volatility, looming tax changes, unease about a virus that just won't quit. It seems that just when the skies start to clear, a new storm blows in. It really makes one wonder, what's next? Annex Wealth Management is ready to face those challenges with you as a fee-only fiduciary. And to do that, we'd like to offer Wealth Metric. It's designed to unleash the power of what's next. More than a portfolio review, Wealth Metric addresses your investment, retirement, and tax plan to help achieve the retirement you desire. Powered by the strength of the Annex team and our state-of-the-art technology, Wealth Metric is another way to know the difference. If you've wondered, how am I doing? And even more importantly, what am I missing? Now is absolutely positively the time to visit AnnexWealth.com and click the Get Started button. Set your own appointment. We're ready for you. Know the difference. Annex Wealth Management. AnnexWealth.com. We're back. Ask Annex is where we open up the mailbag at AnnexWealth.com. You just look for that Ask button. The questions range from incredibly technical to fairly simple. We like them all. Everybody gets an answer. And some of them wind up on the radio. So again, if you want to do that, it's AnnexWealth.com. Look for the Ask button. First one is from Chris. I get that we're overdue for a correction, but are there any signs of a bear market?
So let's define those first, Derek. You know, obviously NASDAQ has really gotten beat down. Worst month since 2008, down about 15% from its highs. And so the definition generally is a correction, it generally accepted, I should say, between 10 and 20% and over 20% is bear market. Now, based on those parameters, Derek, where are we at?
Well, it really depends on what we're talking about. Two-thirds of the stocks in the NASDAQ are actually in bear market territory. It's just the mega caps that are starting to weaken, and that's why we said forever that the indexes were masking the underlying weakness in the markets, generally speaking. Small caps are, I think, about 18% off their highs in many cases as well. So there has been a lot of damage done. And they always say, you know, in a correction, they always get they also shoot the best one to last. You know, mm-hmm. That's the Apples and the Nvidias and Microsoft and all those types of stocks, which are still fairly expensive, but do have great business prospects.
And so you talk about expensive, you know, we look at a number of metrics. One of them that is generally accepted is what's the PE ratio, and a lot of them trading above, but there's other ways to look at it, inflation adjusted, and you know these other studies that you look at that use other methods, and those suggest that they're expensive as well.
Right. I mean, free cash flow yield is probably my favorite, but it's free cash flow yield relative to treasuries, and when you think about stocks relative to treasuries, with a 10-year trading at 1.75, the earnings yield on the S&P 500 still looks attractive, yep. And is in an area where the markets typically rally between 8 and 12%.
Good point.
This one's from a text. Is there an upside to higher interest rates?
There is. You know, one of them, of course, is if you're a saver, right? So if you are a saver and you go in, and not an investor, not a person who's taking on risk assets, the higher interest rates mean that you earn more. Just think about it as a savings account or a CD rate. That benefits those folks. But in the equities markets and the risk assets, there are certain sectors that do better with higher interest rates, Derek.
Right, and it's really a duration issue. What I mean by duration is where are the free cash flows going forward? So we talk about bond duration, be exposure to rising interest rates. Equities have the same kind of risks, same kind of exposures to interest rates. What we've seen is the sensitivity of some stocks to interest rates is much higher than it's ever been. So an area like financials, which are inversely correlated with rates, higher interest rates mean they can, you know, they borrow short, lend long, they can make a better interest margin, and it usually is accompanied by loan growth. So there are sectors that ought to do well in a rising rate environment, provided it's not too quick.
And so you think about sectors, obviously financials is one of them. You would probably assume that interest rates with utilities would work the other way because they're so indebted.
Right, and we've been out of utilities for a long time. They're very expensive.
And the third, of course, would be energy stocks. And, you know, energy continues to crank up, and you can see what's happening in Russia. You know, that might exasperate what's going on over there.
Right. I mean, natural gas prices have been rising. I mean, we know there are all sorts of issues in Europe with natural gas availability. The UK as well. But again, you know, these are issues that are out there. The market knows it and it tends to sniff it out.
Did you know that 50% of Russian revenue comes from energy? And so, you know, you go and say, you know, these economic impacts, if this does to come fruition, could be significant if that's where it's going to go, Danny.
Dave, what's the highest CD rate you remember?
Oh, I back in 1980, 81, in that time, I remember my dad putting money in a 10% plus CD. And I thought, wow, why would you do that when, you know, equities were going up? Well, that was such a smart move, of course. And then when those rolled off, you'll never be able to replace that.
Right. A lot of people are still holding bonds that were issued when rates were significantly higher. And that's another thing. When you look at your fixed income, don't think about what your coupon is. Think about what your yield to maturity is.
And that's always difficult. And that's the reason why you should employ a firm like Annex Wealth Management, Danny.
Website, annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Next is from Byron on Ask Annex. Are we heading for a U.S. wage price spiral?
Well, we better explain that.
Well, you know, that's kind of what we saw in the 70s. One of the challenges for the Fed is they want to curb this inflationary trend and nip it in the bud, because once you get inflationary expectations built in, it's really hard to wring it out. Paul Volcker had to do it basically by shock therapy in the late, early 80s, and we don't want to see that again, and I'm sure the Fed doesn't either. But the problem we have in many ways is there's a very it's just a dislocation at the moment. You know, Omicron is peaking. People are probably staying home. What's going to happen when Omicron peaks and more people have immunity or less risk of severe disease from COVID?
And so the COVID issue, of course, we believe is getting behind us. We'll have to see if there's another wave. Obviously, nobody knows that. Obviously, not even the CDC knows those things. But we're going to continue to watch that. Those are all the uncertainties that go into investing.
That's Ask Annex. Got a question for us? Our website is annexwealth.com. What does Annex Wealth Management do? Investment, retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning, the most important part. We do it as a fee-only fiduciary. We build a complete plan unlike anybody else's, so it is tailored for you. You can start at annexwealth.com by clicking that Get Started button. That begins the wealth metric process. That is all of our team insight with all of our technology. It is more than a portfolio review. It answers some key questions that you can see because we're going to deliver it to you. How are you doing and what might you be missing? It's called Wealth Metric at annexwealth.com by clicking the Get Started button. We're going to be right back. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News. Sure, there are market updates, but learn something new and interesting with the Know the Difference Minute from Annex Wealth Management. We'll go beyond the usual topics and dig in deep on developing and breaking stories. Catch them all on Spotify. Search Know the Difference Minute from Annex Wealth Management. Know the difference with Annex Wealth Management? You hear a lot about Roth IRA conversions, and that's when you take a taxable distribution from a traditional IRA and you convert it to a Roth IRA. And that is way too simple of an explanation. Is it right for you? As always, it depends on your situation. Eric Strong is Financial Planning Manager and a CFP at Annex Wealth Management. Hello, Eric.
Hi, Danny.
Tom Burkholz is a CFP and Financial Planning Specialist at Annex Wealth Management. Hey, Tom.
Hey, Danny.
Eric, how about a quick definition of how the Roth IRA came to be? How it operates compared to a regular IRA?
Well, Roth IRAs are relatively new. They were introduced in 1997, named after Senator William Roth. Here's how they work, Danny. You actually don't get a tax deduction when you put money into a Roth IRA. That's what makes it different from the traditional. But once you have the money in there, it grows tax-free, and if you play by the rules, it actually comes out tax-free as well, and that's why financial planners like them so much.
Do you find that people, when they're younger, don't want to pay that tax now? They push it down the tracks, and isn't that why we're kind of in this situation?
Yeah, actually, I think you're right. Yeah, we do see that.
Tom, what's the rule of thumb when deciding to do a Roth conversion, or is that way too broad of a question?
Well, a generic rule of thumb is simply a question of, do you think between now and your death, will taxes be higher or lower? If the answer is higher, many people choose to pay the taxes now, lock in today's rates with a Roth conversion, and insulate themselves from future tax rate hikes. But you know what's interesting? A lot of clients have told me, if I could just go back in time, I would have invested more into my Roth. But the reality is, like Eric mentioned, the Roth was created in 1997, and even today, a lot of 401ks don't even offer a Roth option. That is some of the appeal of a Roth conversion, because it's not about what happened in the past. It's about what you can do today to alleviate future taxes.
I believe you're somewhere in your 20s. Do you fight this battle?
I do. Personally, I try to establish tax diversification now, so in the future, I'm in a good spot.
I think you're smarter than the average bear. Eric, is there a possibility that tax rates rise? How does it affect the conversation about the conversion?
Well, first of all, we already know that tax rates are rising, because at the end of 2025, the lower tax rates that we've had from the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act are expiring. So we know already tax rates are going up. However, a lot of people think we're seeing all this new spending, we're seeing the debt of the nation increasing. And with all of that, we might see higher tax rates in the future. And that absolutely affects the conversion discussion, because if you think tax rates are going to be higher, that's what makes a conversion more appealing today.
And what's that saying about death and taxes, right? We know those two things will happen.
Yes, we certainly
right.
do.
Talking about Roth conversions and how we approach them on behalf of our clients at Annex Wealth Management. Tom, what's a ballpark? I'm curious, how many Roth conversions do we do in a typical year?
Yeah, we do hundreds of conversions for our clients every year, and usually the goal is the same. It's tax diversification, because just like how investors want diversification in a portfolio with stocks and bonds and potentially other assets, additionally, a portfolio in theory should have proper tax diversification as well. What I mean by that is a portion in taxable assets, a portion deferred pre-tax, and some tax-free. But really, to answer your question, something I really pride myself on the financial planning team here at Annex is we take a very comprehensive, detail-oriented approach to Roth conversion. So we're not giving blanket advice that you should always do this or never do that. We really let the math tell us what makes sense.
Eric Strom is Financial Planning Manager and a CFP at Annex Wealth Management. Tom Burkholz is a CFP and Financial Planning Specialist at Annex. Is there potential for unintended consequences with Roth IRAs? I mean, does that affect Medicare premiums, things like that?
Yes, and it certainly does affect Medicare premiums as one example. And I will say that the unintended consequences, that's almost why Tom and I and others have a job, because it's so darn complicated. You mentioned Medicare premiums. Your Part B and Part D Medicare premiums depend on your income. So if you start voluntarily accelerating taxes into this year with a Roth conversion, that can really up your Medicare premiums. And then there's other obstacles as well. There's net investment income tax as an example. That's an extra tax that higher income earners can face. So we are always trying to navigate all of those different obstacles in addition to the tax brackets themselves to decide about conversions.
Tom, how about clients who have already begun taking Social Security benefits or required IRA distributions? Do Roth conversions have an effect there?
Great question. Like a lot of things in finance, it depends. A Roth conversion can really be thought of as artificially receiving more income because you're paying the taxes on it. So someone with income from these other sources do have to weigh the pros and cons of potential consequences of a conversion in any given year, like Eric was alluding to. Another big thing is tax torpedo. So sometimes if you do a Roth conversion, you subject your Social Security to additional taxes or even bump your capital gains rate up or phase yourself out of certain tax credits you want to receive. So it's really good to get a customized calculation for every tax year before completing a Roth conversion.
And we'd like to help you through that process, folks. We sure do it for our clients for investment and retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning. We do it as a fee-only fiduciary. Know the difference. The website, annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Start the wealth metric process. Tom Burkholz, CFP and Financial Planning Specialist at Annex Wealth Management. Thanks for your time.
My pleasure.
And Eric Strom, Financial Planning Manager and CFP at Annex Wealth Management. Thank you.
Thanks, Danny.
This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show for Sunday, January 23rd. Quick break, but we'll be back. More to come, 92.5 Fox News.
Dave Spano from Annex Wealth Management. After all we've been through, isn't it time to focus on what really matters, living your best life? There are a lot of moving pieces when it comes to investment and retirement planning. It's important to get it right, and we can help. AnnexWealth.com is the place to start. Click the Get Started button. Put a pro on your side with a local fee-only fiduciary. That's Annex Wealth Management, annexwealth.com.
It's Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News website, annexwealth.com. I'm Deanna Clayton, Dave Spano, our president and CEO in the studio. Now joining us, Director of Client Learning and Development, a CFP and a CDFA at Annex Wealth Management, Deanne Phillips. Welcome.
Hi.
You want to talk about stuff?
Yeah, stuff.
We have stuff to talk about. Yeah. So this is kind of interesting, Dave. So I sat with a client very recently who called an emergency meeting and said, you know what, Deanne, I just found out I'm an executor for my brother-in-law's estate. And guess what? Yeah, it's over the estate tax exemption. Mm-hmm. So I've already got assets that have accumulated quite a bit. But then I entered the house and there's all this stuff. And we're not talking just magazine stacked there. We're talking, he said, you want an iPad? I got seven of them. Oh. You want an iWatch? You got, you know, miniature trains all over the place.
Goodness.
Just a lot of stuff and stuff that, you know, he looked at and he said, what do I do?
Yeah. You know, we see that in a lot of times, you know, people think when they have to value their estate, they think about the things that are easily valued, like securities and real estate. But technically, you're supposed to go and value all of the stuff. So we'll have to see how that goes through. And, you know, maybe some of it is there and some, you know, how do you put a number on a train set, as you just said, or a used iPad?
Well, so, is what people will pay for things, collectors
exactly,
and that kind of thing.
And
right?
So I'm interested. What'd you tell them?
So we took a look and said, well, you kind of have to divide things out into a couple different categories. The first category are the obvious. Are there things that have a rider attached to insurance with them? Mm-hmm. Because that's very trackable. There's an appraisal. That's going to make your job a little bit easier, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Are there things that are blatantly registered, like a gun collection or some sort of collection or artwork that's famous where mm-hmm. it's very trackable? Because mm-hmm. that'll make it a little easier to get that stuff out of there, make sure it's protected. You're in a vacant house right now. You know, deal with the insurances as you need. But then you've got the boxes and boxes of things. Right. And so, you know, then it comes down to what are the documents, the trust or will, say about how everything is supposed
titled.
To, titled and where it's supposed to go.
Awesome. You know, and folks, if you're listening to this and you are in this same situation, we can help. There's a way to help and there's a way that you can get that process started.
I'm getting texts that say, when is this person's estate sale?
Yeah,
exactly.
Our website, annexwealth.com. we do this kind of stuff. Investment, retirement planning, tax planning, and estate planning. We do it as a fee-only fiduciary. We would love to help. Let's get you through 2022 and beyond. If you're working with somebody else, there's nothing wrong with a second opinion. Take us up on that free offer, all right? It's called Wealth Metric. Back in a bit on Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
Cut through the clutter with Axiom, the weekly newsletter from Annex Wealth Management. Subscribe today for 7 insights built and delivered to you every Sunday. It'll help you navigate the markets and the things that affect your money. The Axiom. Sign up at AnnexWealth.com.
Know the difference? You've heard the saying, you get what you pay for, and we're talking about the value of an advisor. This is part 2. If you missed part 1, we're going to have that on the Annex Wealth Management YouTube channel. The value of an advisor, this came from Russell Investments, and it's quite good. They broke it up into an A, B, C, P, and T. A was annual rebalancing. B was behavioral mistakes individual investors typically make. C is the cost of basic investment-only management. We're talking about robo-advisors here. Brandon Lehman joins me, and we're going to pick things back up with the value of an advisor. We are to P, and that's planning costs and ancillary services. This is really where the rubber meets the road.
Yeah, and this is really what Annex is all about. This is true holistic planning to help you reach and achieve those financial outcomes and goals you strived your whole life to build towards. And I think, put this all in perspective, Russell Investments has done a great job here. And there was a study as well done by Kitsis, Michael Kitsis, if you're familiar with who that is.
Kind of a rock star in the world, right?
He is, yep. Especially in the registered investment advisory world. And standalone planning, their study proved that standalone planning is about $2,080 a year, or about 0.5% on a $400,000 account. That's just putting the plan together. So that's the time the planner puts in, the investment team puts in, the tax planning team puts in. All those individuals, when they sit down, they start building all of this and come to you with a plan. Now, obviously, that's not just a one-time plan. And I think that's where a lot of people tend to get lost, is they think, well, it's a plan, it's set in stone, but really we're monitoring this throughout the year.
Dave Spano talks about this. Back in the old days, you'd give everybody a book and it'd be like, see you later. It's not. This is living and breathing.
Correct. And with the software that we utilize here, I call it a living plan. You know, this is a living, breathing document where you can sit down. So I just did this with an individual, and we sat down, we reviewed the plan, and we looked at it with everything that's gone on. And while it had gone down, I think we talked about this last week, it's still in good shape. And that's the key. It's a living, breathing plan. And what people don't often realize is, along with building that plan, there's so many, as you said, ancillary services, as Russell puts it. Savings and distribution analysis. You look at investment and cash flow planning. Stock options, an area where I have spent a significant amount of my career, is looking and viewing, understanding stock options from major publicly traded corporations. You look at property and casualty review and partnering with somebody who can help with that. Long-term care insurance. The list goes on and on of all the different things that we do here. And there's really a value for that. And Russell puts it, you know, somewhere in the lines of 0.5 to 0.75% for all that time that they're putting in for you. And I think that's key to understand that it's not just what you see, that one meeting a year, that those 3-4 meetings a year where you sit down and you view it. This is a lot of time put in by quite a few people behind the scenes to create your plan.
The real beauty of it, too, is we're a fee-only fiduciary. So we're not generating this stuff to generate commissions. This is part of the fee.
That's what's so important. You know, we are doing this because it's in your best interest. To us, what matters is giving you the best solution and supporting you and helping you find your financial goals and outcomes.
So you're in the backyard at the cookout and your neighbor says, oh, Brandon, I can do all this myself. And it's like, wait a minute, probably not.
There's a few things you probably could. You might be really good at the investment side. You might be really good at the tax side, depending on what you do for a living. However, we can bring together a whole group of folks and experts to help you in all those areas.
Oh, you said it. You said taxes. We're T, and that stands for Tax Smart Investing.
Yes. This is the last thing. This is, I don't want to say newer, but it has come out more recently, probably in the last 5 years, where this has been a big focus, because you started to see years where people were paying taxes but getting no returns on their mutual funds. And that's called your capital gain distributions. So you need to be tax aware and tax smart when it comes to your investing plan. And when you work with Annex, you work with our investment team, we develop a strategy in conjunction with our tax planning team on what makes the most sense for your investment goals and objectives. And we have to be very tax cognizant of what we're doing. And I've talked about this constantly on the radio how important it is to understand what your investments are, where you hold them, and what they are doing. Because in April, you might not realize back in March that it's going to have a negative impact next April on you.
You also use that phrase I hadn't heard before, but tax drag. I mean, think about it. It's an anchor.
It is an anchor. And, you know, Russell Investments does a great job of quantifying this. And we can sit down with each individual and look at what your actual tax drag is of your portfolio and help you basically unwind that and get to what would be more tax efficient in the long run.
The value of an advisor. I think you've demonstrated the case very nicely. Brandon Lehman is a wealth manager at Annex Wealth Management. That's how we think. That's how we operate. When it gets down to it, think carefully about the value of a fee-only fiduciary. That is the value of an advisor. Brandon Lehman, appreciate it.
Danny, thank you so much.
If we can help, head to annexwealth.com and click that Get Started button. We'd like to think a new year wipes the slate clean, but we're realists at Annex Wealth Management. Challenges remain. Market volatility, taxes, a pesky virus. It makes you wonder, what's next? Annex Wealth Management is ready to face those issues with you as a fee-only fiduciary with WealthMetric. More than a portfolio review, it addresses your investment, retirement, and tax plan. If you ask, how am I doing, or more importantly, what am I missing, visit annexwealth.com, click the Get Started button. We're ready. Know the difference. Annex Wealth Management. We're back. Quick reminder, we got a brand new webinar that you might want to know about. It happens on Tuesday, February 1st, which is rapidly approaching. It happens at 6 o'clock Eastern, 5 o'clock Central. We're mentioning two different times because you figure you might be listening on a smart speaker in a different time zone because we have clients all over the place. It's an interactive presentation. We're going to discuss investment myths, women in wealth's investigating investment myths. We just did one in person, really got a lot of great feedback. So now we're going to offer it as a webinar. Details at annexwealth.com/events. I'm Danny Clayton. Derek Felsky, our chief investment officer. Dave Spano is president and CEO, Annex Wealth Management.
Thanks, Danny. We were sitting in a client meeting earlier this week, and a client asked us about inflation because they have a small business and their input costs continue to go through the roof, and so it's really hurting their earnings. And so we got into this conversation about inflation, which I'm sure is happening with those of you who are listening, sitting around the coffee table talking to your friends. But one of the things that we've been saying on this show for a significant amount of time is when you see peak supply chain, soon thereafter you could probably mark peak inflation. Well, there's this company called SpaceNo, and they have satellites that go and look at places like ports. And they showed us last week that there are more ships sitting on the ports than ever before, Derek. So inflation's probably going to be with us for a while.
It is. And, you know, right now China's having issues. So they have a zero COVID tolerance policy. So, you know, in that country, they basically tell you to stay home and you stay home. And they have the Olympics coming up. So
they weld the door shut.
Right. Yeah. So because of that, you know, that can exacerbate the supply chain issue as well, because a lot of goods are manufactured in China. But again, the market is going to sniff this out. And I every time I see that fear and greed index get around the 40 level, I automatically decide to try to find some new ideas, potentially new leadership that's going to emerge. Like maybe it's basic materials or real estate or even energy stocks. You know, not many people own energy. A lot of people are on the sidelines because of ESG and other reasons.
You know, you said something last week about the entire sector of energy stocks, which I thought was fascinating.
Well, it's less than the market cap of Apple.
Yeah, think about that. Apple itself is bigger and with their market capitalization than the entire energy sector. So these are the things that we looked at. You know, you brought up China, and China right now is lowering interest rates at the same time that the United States is anticipated to raise interest rates. That is not good for China's economy.
Well, it'll have lagged effects. Their real estate sector is fairly weak, but it's actually led to a pretty significant rally in emerging market equities, which languished last year. In fact, emerging market equities last year were down 2%, while the S&P was up 28. So I mean, that's one of the reasons why we build balanced portfolios, because as circumstances change, it's really hard to own the hot sector every year on a year-to-year basis. A well-balanced portfolio generates moderate returns, which beat the rate of inflation over
time.
And so
lastly, one of the things I do want to get to is all of this policymaker talk about how much they're going to raise. Are they going to shock the market with a 3/4 point raise without telling anybody? There's all kinds of the speculation happening. But will the policymakers really significantly raise rates? There is some political effects on all of that. Number one, there is a $30 trillion debt in this country. And when you raise interest rates, that means the bonds on those on that debt continues to go up. And at some point, if you raise interest rates too much, the interest rate on that $30 trillion will supersede all of the Social Security payments in this country, amongst other things, the defense sector and others. So that is one political aspect. The second, of course, is that there is a midterm election coming up in November. And if you raise interest rates too fast or too aggressively, that could cause negative effects for the economy, and that's never good for the sitting party.
Right, and we're really talking about short-term rates, because depending upon how the bond market reacts to what the Fed is doing, they may take rates up or they may take rates down. If they believe they're being too aggressive, we could see a flattening of the yield curve where short-term rates are going up and long-term rates are going down. And for the most part, when you value companies or real estate or whatever else, you're looking at longer-term interest rates, not the Fed funds rate.
And that's the reason why, if you're listening to this, and this any of this either makes sense or totally does not make sense, there is a way for us to help you navigate this, because interest rate moves affect the securities that you own. It affects the real estate that you own. And so there we can help you through. There is this process that we developed called Wealth Metric, and it will walk you through all of these things and the way that we see them, what you own, and perhaps what your plan is going forward, Danny.
You might often hear about the portfolio review. This is more than a portfolio review. It is our team insight. And you've heard us over the last couple of years talk about the team that Dave has built at Annex Wealth Management. It is loaded. We want to put those people on your side. We want to work on behalf of you as a client. Wealth Metric is the place to start. The website is annexwealth.com. Wealth Metric answers those questions about how are you doing, what might you be missing. It ties it together, because we've got teams that address your investment needs, your retirement planning needs, your tax planning needs, your estate planning needs, and we do it as a complete plan built for you and you alone as a fee-only fiduciary. That's complete fee transparency. It's what we believe in, it's what we do, and it's how we do it. You can experience it. Head to our website, annexwealth.com. Click that Get Started button. Have a great week. We will see you in a week. This is Money Talk, the Annex Wealth Management Show, 92.5 Fox News.
The Annex Wealth Management Show is hosted by Annex Wealth Management, a fee-only registered investment advisor. Important information about the qualifications and business practices of Annex is available at annexwealth.com. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk. Please consult with a qualified fiduciary advisor about your specific situation.